Okay, I have to thank not the organizers, but all of you for staying till the bitter end. So I hope I'll try to make it not so bitter. So this is, I was asked to give the theory overview, although they actually told me that I could talk about whatever I wanted. So the real title of this is You Should Have Left While You Had the Chance. So I've had many collaborators, some of you in the audience, but this talk has nothing to do with you. There's no one to blame but me for this talk. Takagi Sensei did, we start thinking about the title of the conference and the workshop. What is this whole LS matter? I puzzled over it initially, I'm embarrassed to say. This joke has already been made. It's one possible meaning of LS. We heard already. Soon after thinking about LS, I was looking through my directories, and you know, those of you who remember Unix or still use a command line, maybe type LS every so often. This is, you know, I was looking to see what I might have stored in my hard drive. Many interesting things. So we had a lot of interesting subjects of theory covered here, kind of a big catalog of phenomena. I mean, these were things that seemed like highlights to me. There was a lot of great, interesting ideas about kind of generalizations of topological insulators, especially Weyl fermions and Majoranas. There's some several talks talking about, including by Guignat. And Nandini about competition between spin orbit coupling and exchange and how that might lead to interesting phase transitions. We had a nice full orgy of Kataev talks and posters. Of course, iridates have been present everywhere, and this morning we did some quantum spin ice, and so this is all great. Great. So it's all great, great stuff. I could go in and review, you know, as Hide did very conscientiously and review everything that was talked about in theory, but maybe I won't. I'll spare you and just make a few comments. You know, this is the end of the conference, so we're all probably feeling good about that, but many of us who are staying here will know that this is almost just the beginning of the program, so we have a lot of time to really achieve things. And I'd like to point out that we've already achieved one thing, which is so far unparalleled, which is we brought the great Guignat Llewellyn to America. I had some fun with Photoshop on this. Okay. But maybe we accomplish some other things, too, I hope, over the course of this program. I can't resist just mentioning a couple of things that occurred to me as we went along, so that we have something to talk about if we actually have a discussion at the end of this thing. Or not, we can quit. So we had a lot of nice talks about Weyl fermions, you know, which is beautiful. I mean, just amazed at the progress of this over the past, you know, year or two. And, you know, so from the theoretical point of view, it proves to me that we are really, really good at solving problems of non-interacting electrons. And, you know, there's still a lot of things to do there. It's amazing. You know, I didn't come into it thinking I would like it, but I really liked, I don't know if Drew is still here, but I really liked his talk on quantum oscillations. It was actually really nice work. Anton would not forgive me if I didn't tell you all that you need to cite him. Not getting cited sufficiently at this program, so please fix your act up. Takagi Sensei pointed out in the last talk, we don't do nearly as well in this intermediate range of interactions, and you know, I think if there's one message I want to get across in this talk is that you know, we theorists need to do better to do something beyond weak interactions. You know, a few of us have made kind of crazy proposals. You can judge for yourself how crazy each one is. This is the one I was guilty of a few years ago, and Hide would like me to explain, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to. And we heard this one at the beginning of this conference. So, I think it's okay to have crazy ideas in this field, but we should try to do a little bit better at trying to figure out how to make them less crazy. And can we do better without throwing the baby out with the bathwater, just going back to free electrons in one way or another? Kataev stuff, where it was a great set of Kataev talks. I don't know if you saw these beautiful pictures from Maria Hermans on her poster of all these little models. And phase diagrams galore, so complicated. It's a kind of, collection. So I kind of wonder, besides, making these very fancy phase diagrams, are there some non-zoological questions we might address? To me, it's obvious what the biggest question is for theorists in this Kataev subject. Which is, why did Kataev leave the KITP? This is a very difficult theoretical problem. Maybe there's some other, let's say, more questions we might have for Alexei if we can ever get him back. We've seen a whole bunch of great candidate Kataev-like systems, and maybe we might even be convinced that many of them have very strong Kataev interactions, but can we actually get one of these systems into the spin-liquid phase? And actually, Hide showed us some interesting experiments under pressure or hydrogen that maybe is doing that. They seem not all that explored yet. The materials we mostly heard about during the program we're all actually ordering. Can we do some theory that's a little better than just these semi-classical calculations or working out the details of Kataev's exact solution, which he taught us about. Actually, first learned about Kataev's solution in this room. I don't know, maybe. Was it this room? Founders room?
Founders room?
Yeah,
I was there.
Okay. Yay! I'm not sure it's the same time. I might have learned before. That's it. During the exotic.
Yeah,
it might have been before. I'm pretty sure I learned in this room, but okay. I think we should try to do better. The one question I just will say even a little bit of science about is, what does it mean to be close to the Kataev quantum spin liquid? So, we've seen experimentalists work really hard to make this beautiful material, try to grow perfect crystals, do super hard experiments, put it under pressure, stuff hydrogen in, incredibly difficult things, And then the thing orders. And then they work really hard to figure out this order, But they really wanted a spin liquid, so of course they're desperate to say, can I find some remnant of this spin liquid in there? And they'd like to say, we're close. We look for something, some blob and some plot, and say, oh, that's close. I think that it falls to us theorists to at least tell them, what does it mean to be close to the Kataev spin liquid? How could you actually tell? I don't think people have thought carefully enough, frankly. Just to give an idea of some of the difficulties of it, when I think about something being close to the Kataev spin liquid, I imagine there's some Hamiltonian, which, has, maybe if we actually were to write it out and we knew what it was, would be close to the Kataev model, but there's some other interaction that I call G, and it's different from that in the Kataev model. It's pushed it a little bit away, so the actual ground state is not, even in the spin liquid phase, it's ordered. And so that means there's a phase transition between, and the natural guess is there's a quantum critical point there. And people actually studied this numerically in this Kataev-Heisenberg model, for example. Incidentally, nobody understands this quantum critical point, as far as I know. I asked Chenka if he understands it right this morning. He said he doesn't, so therefore nobody does. I think that's a safe bet. But anyway, there's some quantum critical point there. What do we actually know? Well, we know that in the ordered phase, there should be some spin waves at low enough energy. In Kataev spin liquid phase, there are all kinds of fancy anions that are doing interesting things. What general theory tells us, when you have a quantum critical point, in between there's some more complicated excitations, which are different from those both of the spin liquid and the ordered phase, that are some quantum critical excitation, and they sit in this famous fan. So if we imagine we're on the ordered side but close to this Kitai's spin liquid phase, if we go up in energy, we don't see the excitations of the spin liquid, we see the excitations of the quantum critical point. Is there any reason to believe at all that we would be able to see remnants of the spin liquid if we were close in this sense? Maybe you're lucky there's some high energy excitation that's so high it's already kind of at the top of this fan and it continues across, but there's no obvious reason why that should be true. I could come up with a slightly different situation. So here's the usual thing we do as theorists, we mix up every possible energy scale. We write energy, which might be a neutron energy. We write temperature, we put them all on the same axis, but maybe it's not the same. This could be a first order transition, although I don't think it is in that particular model people studied. If you have a first order transition, there's no quantum criticality associated with it. It's really just two different phases crossing in energy. If you go above that finite temperature, there'll be a first order line coming out. And maybe it goes like this, if we're lucky, it goes in this direction. So when you're above that line, you're actually in the other phase. So then maybe you could actually expect to see something related to Kitai. I don't know. At least it's a scenario. It's about the only one I can think of where you really could expect to see Kitai physics close. Theorists should think about it. Iridates, okay, those are all mostly iridates, those Kitaev things, but not all of them. We had lots of cool talks about iridates. Certainly mostly on the experimental side, or beautiful experiments, really amazing on strontium iridate from B.J. Kim. Now seeing this kind of D-wave gap, maybe it's superconductivity. Surely we as theorists, experimentalists can hope to learn something. We as theorists can hope to learn something about high TC from this, have another system that seems to be behaving the same way. What do we actually learn? Or conversely, can we do our job as theorists and actually predict something that's different here than in high TC? I don't know. Maybe we should just place bets whether it's actually superconducting or not. That's a good idea. Of course, those aren't the only iridates. Perhaps a little too close to my heart are these pyrochlore iridates. We saw a bunch of very rich experiments doing really complicated things. I think these imaging of domain walls is really beautiful. And we had a couple theory talks, but pretty much all the theory, myself included in there on this, is mean field theory. And yet we know that there are many aspects of the experiments in these materials that are very non-mean field-like. If you actually look at this ARPIS spectrum that Nakatsuji-san showed us, the bands, to the extent you can even see the bands there are maybe three times narrower than they should be according to DFT type calculations. So that's a big effect. So we know there's something pretty majorly wrong about just mean field treatment in that sense. So how much can we trust what it's actually telling us? Mean field theory predicts lots of interesting nodal states, but are they actually there, and can we do better? Since I was told I don't really have to overview, I thought I would now spend the rest of the time telling you about my own theoretical ideas. So I've got about 15 topics we're going to cover, and there are no more talks today, so we can just go, right? Well, maybe not. Okay. So it is Friday, the end of a long week, and you're probably starting to feel like you're this guy and ready to get out of here. I just want to leave you with a kind of quick message, which is, sitting here at the KITP, we see programs come through over and over again, and all covering all the areas of condensed matter physics and other areas. And we've had quite a few interesting ones. And the last few have been, let me say, much more formal than the ones we've had now. And there's a huge community really active and doing exciting things in condensed matter theory who are pushing the boundaries of what we would even call condensed matter theory. I don't know where they come from. Who have invented thousands or millions of new phases of matter, all topological in some way or another. Yet almost no connection to reality. So in this room, and in this program, we've got an impressive collection of people. I'm mainly talking to theorists here, I guess, because You experimentalists are also impressive, but you know, I'm supposed to be talking to the theorists who maybe have the capability of actually bridging that gap and talking to, you know, trying to make a connection and talking to these people and to connect the you know, the world, the real world, to some of these beautiful ideas. There's, you know, George is one of the guys who might be capable of doing it. He's got his bottle of Georgian wine there and his favorite number on his shirt. So I just would like to urge you all to try and, one of the things we might manage to do in this program is to build some bridges across, maybe a zip line. And, I don't want anyone to leave out. I'm done. I had very little to say, and I've said it. So, like Hide, I want to just end by thanking all the organizers. And
now we can ask Leon all the questions that couldn't be answered during the conference week, right?
Oh, come on. I think I gave a talk which makes it impossible to ask questions.
Hello. So looking at the phase, sorry.
Apparently not.
Looking at the phase diagrams that you showed for these exact two QSO, my question is, you said that if you have a first order transition line, then above that you might expect, if you're lucky, some anion physics. The question is it the same for 2D versus 3D materials, or is there any dependence on the dimensionality, whether it would be first order or second order?
Oh, I'm not predicting whether this transition is first order or second order. I'm saying if it happens to be, then you have this line extending up. And that's general. That doesn't depend on dimensionality. That's just thermodynamics that first order transition at zero temperature always extends some amount into a finite temperature line. You know, whether this transition is first order, generally anything can, but kind of universality thinking tells us at least it also depends on the nature of the ordered state over here. So I'm not saying this is the only way, it's just the only way I could think of where that might work. I mean, you know, if we want to be really creative, we could probably come up with some other scenario where something might remain. Maybe there only part of the degrees of freedom of this spin liquid are involved in the quantum critical point, and some are not really, and those kind of move through. But one needs an argument. Yeah.
So actually, I have a very small comment on that point. Very limited information from
this
our calculation. In the anisotropic limit, we did both 2D and 3D calculation for that kind of phase diagram.
Mm-hmm.
And we have shown that the 3D case is first order, and 2D case is continuous QCP. I don't know if it is general or not, but at least in our case, there was a difference in the dimension.
I think it's model dependent, but that was for this toric code type model, right? Interesting. Thank you.
So maybe you can tell us your predictions about adding a doping of charge carriers in this phase diagram.
My predictions. Oh, of course it's going to become superconducting, right? Must be. With very high TC and topological, too. Wow, okay. Good. And one of the things I've learned over time is that you can predict anything, and it doesn't really matter. If you get it right, you get credit. If you get it wrong, they forget.
Predict lots of things.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good strategy. Yeah. I agree with that.
Maybe coming back to this phase diagram, is there any chance that...
I just drew this, you know.
Is there any chance that the ordered phase is actually ordered star phase? That is, it's some spin liquid coexisting with long-range order?
Oh, wouldn't we love to believe that?
Does that place me on the other side of the Grand Canyon, actually?
Oh yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, don't ask me. Sure, sure, super, yeah. Well, in the three-dimensional materials, no way. Okay, because as Montemayor-San has showed us, there would be a distinct finite temperature transition associated with that. We would expect to see, but maybe in the 2D sodium iridate, but I really doubt it. But yeah, would be great though, I'm sure. Stars. We all like to see stars.
Yeah, I want to ask one question. There, I heard many people being excited about something called topological condensulators. Mm. But I haven't heard.
Didn't we hear about that this morning?
Conference.
Huh? We heard about that this morning.
Oh, I might have missed this.
I think, but well, I refer all questions to Colin.
Yeah, so I'd like to kind of hear a little bit more where they fit into this picture which you just presented.
I didn't
should
present any
picture. Should we be excited
picture.
About them? Are they at dead end?
Did I present any picture? Somewhere. I didn't present any picture. No. I like that picture. Yeah. I think it's not clear how excited you should be about it. It's interesting. They're definitely correlated systems, right? They're strongly interacting systems. Yeah. Maybe Gignot has an opinion about it. But, but which appear that appear, well, there's one material, right? Sumerian hexabore, right? Appears to be reasonable evidence that it's maybe topological in its ground state. The theoretical description so far kind of fits into the category that I mentioned, that it may have a somewhat correlated system, but the theory is all mean field. And so the low energy description is basically free electrons. And so, I would say that doesn't fit in the category of us, can we do better here? But maybe there's phenomena there which are not captured by that just mean field picture. And those are the things one should focus on. So, Colin told us about some interesting excitations that are presumably beyond the just completely free particle picture. But I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. We'll probably have some. Victor was here earlier. I don't know if we have any. He worked on, she died. Did you not work on it? Yeah? No? Did you not work on topological condensulator? I think you have a paper on it. There you go, okay. So answer his question.
Okay, but what's the question?
Of the interesting things going on in this, but so far till now, in terms of real material, we have only one actually these kind of materials, samarium hexaboride. And in the morning, we have heard that even this material. So before this morning, I was pretty sure that this material is insulating. Under the temperature is below condensation temperature, but now in the morning I saw some data indicating that even this is not 100% sure, that people see some evidence that bulk is probably has some bulk carriers as well. So I heard that there's a quantum oscillation data. It's also indicating that the bulk kind of Fermi surface remaining in very low temperature, it's well below the condensation temperature. So, but that's under very strong magnetic field. So I think a big difference between the topological condensation insulator and the topological insulator is that topological condensation insulator is not a rigid insulator. Many things can change it. Magnetic field, temperature can actually turn the can change the insulating behavior to some other behavior. So I think this probably is the main difference between these two.
So Leon, I've enjoyed your talk immensely. So, but I want
to. Then I accomplished what I tried to do.
Thank you. Yes, it's been great. But I wanted to ask you: have we, as a community, or you, or anybody here, ever predicted something strongly, not mean field, strongly correlated that was actually observed?
Wow.
I mean, in line with, can we do better?
Well, you know that we have predicted lots of things in quantum Hall effect, but that's the coward's way out. But I don't know. There we have a handle. Predicted? I'm not even sure we need to predict, but explain is fine. But clarify. We have done, I think there are many things that one could point to. It depends a bit on your definition of strongly correlated. So if you take a generous definition that strongly correlated means anything that's not free electron, basically free electron-like, that's, again, a somewhat cowardly answer is lots of quantum magnets we can understand, because they're certainly very far from free electron-like, but we know how to attack with many methods to attack spin Hamiltonians, for example, or one-dimensional correlated systems. It's a tough question, yeah. I'm not saying I have an answer, but I think we can do things, sure. Otherwise, what are we doing? Well, we can do free electrons. A lot of the numerical people in here, I mean, a few realistic people in here probably think they can do anything. Right? Some supermen, women.
Okay, no more trouble for Leo.
Yeah, I think we may be done. So yeah. I think we have something else to do.
First, I'd like to thank Leon for giving an entertaining talk. This is the end of the formal session, but our main organizer, Georgie Jackley, he has something to say. So I'd like to invite him to have a final word for the conference, and
Let me slightly correct you, Young Beck. It's not that I'm main organizer, but after Imada Sensei revealed my true hidden age, that apparently I'm as old as Meiji Restoration in Japan, I was asked by other organizers, as the oldest member of the team, to give a special thanks to a people without whom this conference would not have been so fantastic as it was, especially to Claudia, who has been doing impressive work. And I have never seen a person making decisions so quickly and having the individual approach to each participant. And we had many invisible things to public, which was very properly and handled in time. So Claudia, thank you very much. It was great working with you. And Maria, who all of you who are participants or program participants, you already know, you pass through her office when you enter to KITP. She welcomes everybody who is entering here, and also our first visitor in the United States. was welcomed by you, and thank you very much. And finally, I would like to thank, of course, KITP for giving us the opportunity to organize this program and workshop, and especially Leon, from whom this idea started. And unfortunately, everything, unless topologically protected, has a finite lifetime. So we are approaching to end, and thank all of you for joining this conference and staying till the last minute of the of the talks. Thank you very much.